Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Go, no, don't go, is our title today. We are doing a simple series, a challenge to saved people. This is not a challenge for people to be holy so that they can earn their way to heaven. Salvation is obtained apart from works. When we realize we're dead in trespasses and sin, we trust Jesus Christ apart from anything we do in our flesh. His shed blood, His broken body paid our debt. That's how you become a Christian. Now this series, now today's message applies to you to become holy, to be like Christ. Not for salvation, but because of salvation. I want that to be so clear. Our key verses are 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Please read with me. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God wants His people to come out from the world. Obviously, we live in this world. It is obviously teaching us to come out from the behavior, the sin of this world, and live a separated life unto Him. The truth is, we live in a sin-sick world, and the temptations are great all around. The devil wants to lure us back into that. And if he can't lure us back in completely, then he wants us to compromise to not be completely what God wants us to be. We are gleaning truths from the story in the Exodus where the children of Israel are in bondage and God calls and sends Moses to Pharaoh. There's a series of contests that Pharaoh should let the people go. And in the story of these contests, Pharaoh offers compromises that Israel would not do exactly what God wants them to do. And God is not pleased with partial obedience. He wants whole obedience. And so we're studying these for our edification. Please look at your verses, Exodus chapter 8, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go. Let them go out of the bondage. Egypt is a picture of the unsaved world and the world system. And God wants His people come out of that. And so here we have a graphic illustration of it. But Pharaoh, in our first study, offered a compromise. Exodus 8:25, Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. But God didn't say that. He wants them completely out. And Pharaoh said, Well, you can worship, but stay in the land. Well, Moses refused that offer for two reasons. First reason was the sacrifice would be an offense to the Egyptians. It would be such an offense that the Egyptians would stone them. And the second reason why he rejected it is because it's not what God said. God didn't say we're supposed to worship in the land. We're supposed to come out from among them if we're going to have true God-honoring worship. And so Moses rejected these compromises. We studied this in our last study. I want you to consider. Let us read Exodus 8:25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. No, God says we're to be out, but let's keep reading. And Moses said, It is not meet or fit for us to do so, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. See, the Egyptians had a form of worship. Israel had the true worship. And what was required in God-honoring worship was absolutely an affront to these Egyptians. It was an abomination. And if we're going to do it right here in the midst of the land, they're going to stone us. We want to get out. Let's keep reading. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes? They will stone us. Now, I want you to get something here. Well, if they just believed God, they wouldn't be afraid of persecution. Folks, we do not unnecessarily bring persecution on ourselves. Persecution will come when you live righteously. But we're not supposed to heap it on. We're not to be ashamed, but there's a balance. Use your head. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but don't heap it on yourself. Don't be obnoxious. There is wisdom here. And so it is. Moses said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to come out from among them. I will not accept your compromise offer. Please consider. A man cannot be a Christian and worship God in the land without offending the world. A gentleman in Boston was converted at one of Mr. Moody's meetings. He purposed keeping it a secret. He belonged to a wealthy and aristocratic family and circle among whom it was fashionable to sneer at evangelical religion. And at that time, especially at Mr. Moody and the great work going on in the city, shortly afterwards, this gentleman was a guest at a large dinner party. In the course of the dinner, the tabernacle meetings of Mr. Moody came up for discussion and ridicule. From bad, they went to worse and began to sneer at Jesus and his cross. By and by, when he could bear it no longer, he arose in his place, trembling with embarrassment, yet courageous in purpose, and said, addressing his host, I do not wish to seem rude, but I cannot be true to myself or my God, and let this conversation go on any longer. I beg to say that Mr. Moody is my friend. And in that same old tabernacle, which is the object of your ridicule, and in one of those meetings which you hold in such contempt, he was the means of awakening me to the true knowledge of my condition before God, and of leading me to Christ, whom I believe to be the very Son of God, and through the merits of his blood, I am trusting for my eternal life. I cannot let this conversation go on without at least confessing so much, and not wishing to disturb the freedom of your party or restrain you by my presence, I beg leave of my kind host to retire from this table. So it is. This man took a stand. I don't belong here. I have no fellowship with this group. And the conviction was great, and he finally stood up and said, I'm out of here. Therefore, let us consider what Paul wrote, 2 Corinthians 6:14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, conclusion of all this, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God wants believers to come out from this world system. It's not a matter of only coming out, it's drawing close to God. Take a look. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. You're not just coming out into a vacuum. You come out and you apply yourself to a relationship with a living God. I will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters. I am convinced this is what is so sorely missing in Christianity at large today. The personal relationship with a living God. I think too many peoples are into deeds. And I do this and I do this. And their Christianity is a bunch of rules rather than truly finding a living God that you can live and walk with every day. And He guides and directs your steps. Did you know God wants to know you and you know Him? A personal relationship. The Bible refers to the husband and wife relationship as a graphic picture of the relationship that Christ is to have with His bride, the church. Come out from among them. Well, today we're going to consider two more compromises offered by Pharaoh to Moses and Israel. The first we have seen is worship in the land. No. Well, the next one we're going to see, well, you can go worship, but don't go very far. Let us read Exodus 8:27. We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as He shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me. And Moses said, behold, I go out from thee, I will entreat the Lord, that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to the sacrifice of the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and He removed the swarm of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants and from his people. There remained not one, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. At this time, neither would he let the people go. It seems that he is giving this, oh, that's fine, go ahead and be a Christian. But he doesn't want them to do it God's way. Oh, I want you to worship, but don't go far. He puts a limit on what God has told them to do and what they know is right to do. Only you shall not go very far away. So it is, He offers them freedom, but stay close. Another compromise. What would we call this today? Be a Christian, but still stay near the world. Keep your old friends, keep your old lifestyle, keep your old music, keep your old entertainment. But you're a Christian. You go to church. But don't go too far. I mean, you don't want to be some religious fanatic. We looked at that last week. They're going to think we're strange. Quote, here is the truth of the matter. Satan will give you as much rope as you want, as long as you're on it. Neither he nor the world cares if you claim to be saved or not, but neither of them wants you to live it. A sold-out Christian is an abomination to the world. A sold-out Christian is a threat to the devil. See, the devil wants to keep people unsaved, and then once they're saved, he wants to keep them from maturing in the Lord to be what God wants them to be. Today we could say, listen, you can go to church, but don't witness. Don't talk to other people about Jesus. You don't have to change your music. It's okay. And he'll lie to you. You can dress like the world. You can enjoy the entertainment of the world. In other words, you can go to church but live like and look like the world. And God says, no, come out from among them. Be ye separate. This is what God wants. Look again at Exodus 8:28. Only ye shall not go very far away. But what did God say, 2 Corinthians 6:17? Come out from among them and be ye separate. Don't go far away. I want you to notice Pharaoh said two things. In verse 27 of Exodus 8, Moses was very clear, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness. That's a far distance. It was far enough. And to that he said, to Moses, Pharaoh responded and said, in verse 28, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses probably thought, great. And then he finished it up and said, but don't go too far. You can go, but don't go. But what is it? Partial freedom. Just worship, but not too much. Don't be a weirdo. You see, Pharaoh did not want to relinquish his control over Israel. He wanted them close. They would be an easy reach. God wants his people separate from Egypt, separate from the world, and unto him. Thus, Pharaoh's offer was unacceptable. Consider, Pharaoh says at the end of verse 28, entreat for me. Really? You want me to pray for you? Yeah, get rid of these flies. You see, Pharaoh had no real interest in the God of Moses. Yet he says, would you please pray? You know what? I don't want anything to do with your God, but you know what? If that'll get rid of the flies, I'll take it. Well, Moses did call unto God. And God did hear that prayer, and God did remove the flies. But Pharaoh, rather than saying, you have the true and the holy God, he didn't do that. He hardened his heart. He got what he wanted. And then he didn't let Israel go at all. Look at verse 28. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. He said then, only go not very far away. And then look at the end of verse 32. Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time and said, neither would he let the people go. Well, what is it? Go, don't go. Go, don't go very far, don't go. He got what he wanted, and he refused Israel to go and worship. It seemed like he was working with them, but the truth is when he got what he wanted, his true colors came out, don't go. Folks, this attitude is still in the world today. They'll offer you compromises to not do exactly what God wants you to do. Come out from among them. They may seem to work with you. The truth is they're not with you. There is no fellowship. Light, darkness, Christ, Belial. So it is. Don't go very far. Let's consider the next compromise that Pharaoh offers. Let's read Exodus 10, starting at verse 7. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go. Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought in again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But now who are they that shall go? Moses said, we will go with our young, with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds, we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you. Not so, go ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Pharaoh offers now, the men can go, have the children stay. Exodus 10:10. He said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, I will let you go and your little ones. Verse 11, now so go ye that are men. Well, what is it? Did you notice the women aren't mentioned? Because obviously if they're going to leave the children, somebody's going to have to stay. And if the men can go and the kids stay, I wonder who's going to stay back and watch the kids. Split the family in worship. Pharaoh says two different things. Go, but not everybody. You see, what was happening here, if the women and children stay and only the husband go, number one, they're disobeying what God wanted. But number two, it's a guarantee the men will return to Egypt because they're not going to leave their family. Pharaoh / Satan knows that. If you leave the kids behind, now there is a split. And there's a draw, a natural draw. When the family is divided in worship, the devil knows that often, not always, but often the faithful one will return to join the family who are still back in Egypt, the world. Not always. The one worshiping will feel an incredible pressure. Come on, honey, will you go to church with me today? Bring the kids. No, we'll stay back here. This is not what God wants. God wants the family to worship. And so we see the danger of this compromise. Well, the men will worship. God will honor that. Yes, what are the children learning? Stay at home. See, Satan wants to destroy the family, God's fundamental building block for any civilization, for any training of a person, is the family. This is why Satan wants to destroy the family. He wants the world to stay back in Egypt while dad worships. That's okay. No, that's not okay. I think it's interesting, he says in verse 10 of chapter 10, Pharaoh says at the end, look to it, for evil is before you. Commentators vary on what that means, but I do know this. He is giving some kind of a challenge to them. Evil is before you. Whatever it is, and it varies, but the bottom line is, don't do what God has said. This I will not tolerate. He did not care for Israel, their families, or their God. He cared for his personal desires. Quote, Satan does not want you to have a godly Christian home. He does not want you to control your children. He wants you to let them run. He wants you to leave all of life decisions up to them. He wants you to let them find their own way. But you had better understand this truth. If you give your sweet children to the world will give you back pagans. Fathers, be the head of your house. Ensure your children are taught the things of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I think we could spend a message on that because there are various ways the father can provoke the children to wrath. I think in the context we have it here, don't take them to church. You will frustrate them, ultimately. Oh, it may seem like you won the battle today. We don't want to go to church. You may have peace for the moment, but in the long haul, you have provoked them to wrath because you have not taught them the truth. Teach them the things of the world. Bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I want you to consider the Old Testament story of Samuel. Hannah, his mother, was barren. She pleaded with God for a son. She got that son. She dedicated that son to the Lord. I want you to consider this little boy. 1 Samuel 2:18, but Samuel as a little boy, in the context, ministered before the Lord being a child, girded with a linen ephod. His mother saw to it. He was dedicated to the work of the Lord even as a little boy, and I want you to underline it. He was girded with a linen ephod. He was dressed appropriately. She knew he was going to be ministering to God. He needed to act and dress the part. See, God wants Christians to truly come out from the world, come out from among them. The problem is, too many Christians accept the standards of the world as acceptable to God. And God says, no, the standards of the world are quite different than the standards of Christians. In entertainment, in attire, in behavior. Do it God's way. This is what He wants. Come out. That doesn't mean take their rules and standards with you. It means do it God's way. You come out, be separate, but unto God. Please don't create a vacuum. Okay, my Christian life, I don't do these things. And then you sit here and say, well, wonder what I do. And you will be very discouraged and frustrated. Now, as a young Christian, as you start to grow in the Lord, the truth is sometimes you might say, boy, you know, I really have a lot to learn. You're right. Hang in there. Ask God for wisdom. Fellowship with good people, good Christian people that can help you and guide you. Read your Bible, attend church, and draw near to God. He is merciful and patient, slow to anger. And as you grow in Him and you start to learn more, change. Come out from among them. This is what God wants. He truly wants His people to be holy. He wanted this of the children of Israel in Exodus 19:5. God is talking to the children of Israel. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses was to take this message and to tell them, God wants you to be special. And this time of that writing, they were already delivered from the bondage of Egypt. And now he wants them to develop into a holy people. Consider how similar 1 Peter says in chapter 2, verse 9, but ye Christians in the church age, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Do you feel like a royal priest? If you're a Christian, you are a royal priest. You're a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness. Come on, He has saved you from the sin of the world into His marvelous light. Come out. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Come out. And don't give in to compromise. Be what God wants you to be. We have considered so far three compromises that were offered. Stay in the land. You can go, but don't go too far. Or only the men could go. Leave the women and children behind. All of these were wrong, for they fell short of what God wanted them to do. Moses knew what was expected, and he told that to Pharaoh. No, my people are to come out. Christian, we are to leave the world. 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them. Be separate. God says, I'll receive you. But Pastor Holler, what's just a little sin? I mean, what does a little compromise here? What does it matter? Would you drink from a jug of water that had one drop of poison in it? Just one drop. Would you want your spouse to be just a little interested in another person? Just a little. How much would you tolerate? Would you tolerate your spouse carrying a picture of another person? I mean, it's only a little card this big and it's this thin. What's the big deal? You wouldn't tolerate it. How many of you want one snake in your house? Just one. You wouldn't tolerate it. Neither should we tolerate just a little compromise, a little sin. God wants us holy. We were dead in trespasses and sin. Jesus hung on that cross, the God of all creation, shed His blood, gave His life to save us from sin. Why in the name of common sense would a Christian want to live in something that God had to send His Son to die for? Something is terribly wrong with this picture. God wants us holy, Christian, and He doesn't want us compromising. Oh, it's just a little. Yes, and a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I'm not a cook. Trust me. When I get in the kitchen, OSHA gets involved. It's not pretty. But I know this, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. A little bit. That's what happens in your Christian life. A little leaven leavens your whole life. I started out, and I want to be as clear as I can. I am not preaching a message that you need to live holy to earn salvation. Not true. You live holy as a believer to have a solid, God-honoring relationship with Him. Your life will have incredible purpose and power to do what He has for you to do. But it does not begin by doing good works for salvation. It begins when you trust Jesus apart from works. Please listen carefully. Let that hand represent you, me, and every person that's ever come into this world. Let that billfold represent sin. Every person has a sin debt. From Genesis to Revelation, with the obvious exception of Jesus Christ, every person has had a sin debt. And there is nothing in our flesh that we can do to get rid of that sin debt. You can do whatever you deem. Write down every good work you think you could do, imaginable. And that will not even touch that sin debt payment. There's nothing you can do in your flesh to get rid of this, and this separates you from God. This sin separates you, that if you die with this on you, you will spend eternity separated from God. In hell, that's the way it is. And so it is. God loves you, but He hates the sin. He knows there's nothing we can do in our flesh. He provided Jesus Christ. Let that hand represent Jesus. God in the flesh had to come, hang on that cross to pay the sin debt of the world. Your sin, my sin, every person's sin was laid upon Him. For us, it was 2,000 years ago. The Old Testament looked forward to one to come. We look back to the one that did come. He gave His life. He shed His blood. 3 days, three nights in a tomb, He rose again. He was dead. He came back to life. Paid in full. What does that mean to you? That means I get it. It's not what I do to get rid of this sin debt. It's exclusively what Jesus did. He did what I could never begin to do. He paid my sin on that cross. He shed His blood for me that I could have eternal life. When you realize in the quietness of your mind, I get it. I have a sin debt that I cannot satisfy. I could join every church in town. I could walk aisles, water, baptism, communion. Go down the list. It will not buy you a moment in heaven. Do you get it? You don't even have to be a Baptist. You don't. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, for God so loved the world, that's you, but He hated the sin, that He gave His only begotten Son, the only one who could pay sin's debt. He paid it in full. Whosoever sinner believes in His work of redemption, His work, His broken body, His shed blood, do you believe that? And that alone for your salvation shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe in the quietness of your mind? I get it. In the context, Jesus Christ is telling Nicodemus how to go to heaven. Do you think He told him the truth? I do. I don't believe He's up in heaven. Poor Nicodemus is in hell. I forgot to tell him to be water baptized. He told him the whole way to go to heaven. There's nothing you can do to get rid of this sin debt. Jesus paid it all, Nicodemus. Put your name there. Do you believe that Jesus paid your sin debt in its entirety? Do you believe that Jesus paid it all? The moment you do, God knows your thoughts. He says, you shall not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. That's the good news. You don't take today's message, well, boy, Pastor Holler preached coming out from among them, being separate. That's for your Christian service, for your Christian growth, for your Christian spirituality, not for salvation. Two separate doctrines. Please keep them separate. You begin your Christian life when you trust Jesus Christ alone as your sin payment. Not good works and Jesus. Jesus only. When you do that, God knows your thoughts. You're a Christian. Now take today's message. I want to learn to come out from among them and be like Christ and be holy, for that pleases God. That's what He wants from me.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.